Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Here they come on third and five. Wilson, boy, somehow escapes. He's going to run for it. Plenty of green grass. Wilson stays in bounds. He's still going. And he's in. Touchdown. Zach Wilson pulling a magic trick.
Down the middle, he's got it. Elijah Moore. The 20. The 10. The 5. Touchdown. Two minutes. Barry. That was Sauce Gardner. Here he goes. Goodbye and hello, Enzo.
Van Dyke swarmed, swallowed, and sacked. Guess who? You only got one guess. Jermaine Johnson.
Here's Breece Hall looking for history. Hall with his 24th straight game with a rushing touchdown into the NCAA record books.
Listen. Thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time to review day number three of New York Jets training camp with the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. Chris, what's going on, brother?
Not too much. Another day of Jets practice, which means that we're one day closer to actual games. Because, yeah, you guys know what it is. I'm ready to get training camp over with and get to the games already.
Speaking of games, Chris, you know that when games come up, there's a lot of preparation that happens before the games. And so I should probably make this announcement now. We just finalized this deal before we started recording, and everybody should know about it. I have decided to release you from the provision of your contract that requires you to watch at least 4 episodes of Justified before every podcast. So, Chris, you don't have to do it anymore. You can if you want to, but you're no longer contractually obligated.
I had a lot of the things going on around here because I had to fire my agent for allowing that to get into the contract. So that's the first thing that had to be addressed. But, you know, yeah. Listen, you don't have to tempt me, trick me into watching Justified. I'll watch it for free.
That's the mark of a true pro. And that's why you look around at these guys and you say, you got to watch X amount of film in order to be at the top of your game, in order to be a very big deal. You really do need to watch at least half a season of Justified a week. And that's perpetual. That happens throughout every single year, throughout time and throughout space. So, Chris, I'm glad that we were able to come to an agreement and I didn't have to hold you to it in your contract. But one thing that I do have to hold you to is helping me recap these practices. You were there today again at Florham Park. And the first thing we should discuss is there's a new player that is going to be joining the roster. He was not practicing today. He's going to start doing conditioning drills over the next couple of days and then eventually begin practicing. And that's Kwon Alexander, former Pro Bowl inside linebacker, signs a one-year, $1.27 million deal, $152,000 signing bonus. Alexander, of course, has experience in that San Francisco 49ers system with Robert Saleh. No-brainer here. He was available. Even if he only gives them 6 to 8 games because he gets hurt, for the price, it's worth it. They only have C.J. Mosley, who has any kind of real experience as a solid starter. Alexander comes in here as a veteran who knows how to play for Saleh and Ulbrich and also gives them an actual option other than Mosley. You can't put all of your eggs into the basket of the inexperienced linebackers. That would be a mistake. Hopefully these guys can learn behind Alexander and Mosley and be ready to maybe be starters at some point down the line. No guarantees with that, though. Let's remember, Sherwood and Nasruddin are basically lottery tickets. They were both late-round picks, and everybody loves Quincy Williams because he hits hard and gets a lot of tackles, but he still has a lot of work to do to become a formidable starting inside linebacker. So this was a good move by Joe Douglas. I think he'll fit right in. He did before in San Francisco. And realistically, as we said before, not much to think about here. Very little in the way of financial commitment and somebody who you know can be relied upon when he's healthy to give you a solid starting option.
Yeah. Look, I've talked about this before. I'm bad with time, so I don't remember exactly when it was that happened. But this isn't the Quan Alexander of 5 years ago. That you're not getting that player. But he, you know, if he's healthy and able to go out there, he's still a huge upgrade over anything to have. Just the mental standpoint of knowing exactly where to be and everything. And this was, like you said, this was a slam dunk, easy, like no brainer on both sides. That he, in the past, and his skill set is exactly something the Jets are missing. That he has familiarity with Salah and Olbrich's defense. The Jets have a need for him. So it's a perfect marriage here. Like, you know, maybe he could have looked around and found something kind of opportunity plus the system plus the coaching staff that knows him and will know how to use. That's the best way for him to extend his career. This is really the only option here for him to go that route and do that. He could, you know, so it was most sense for him, most sense for the Jets. If you're holding on to the thought that, oh, you're getting Quan Alexander from however many years, let that go. But like I said, and you said, he's an upgrade there. As long as he's healthy, you don't expect him at this point to make it the whole season. But as you said, this type of money, you get 6 to 8 weeks out of him and whatever, help him. With CJ Mosley, teach some of the younger guys. Hopefully they can learn from that and buy enough time that they can improve and close the gap a little bit. That's what you're looking for here. And, you know, that was one of the surprising things with last year with the roster building is I expected Salah to bring in more of his guys, and he didn't do a lot of that. So maybe this year that can come in into play and that can help. But, yeah, it's just, you know, it would make no sense not to try this. It would be foolish to look at it on both sides for Quan Alexander to go somewhere else. And that's why when, you know, I forget when the visit was a while ago and people were like, why haven't they signed him yet? And relax. Like, there's no place that was better suited for him to go either. So it just makes all the sense in the world. And it's just, you know, you're looking for this to help at this point more in the margins than like blatantly obvious on the field. But you think that, yeah, that help on the margins will be coming with him.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Zach Wilson had a bit of an up and down day, a couple of red zone interceptions, but he did bounce back from the second one, throwing a touchdown pass to a sliding Corey Davis, who, as we mentioned yesterday on the show, is down 15 pounds from last year, so he's a lot more limber, showed it off on that play. Garrett Wilson had a touchdown in the red zone drills as well. This is going to happen from time to time, Chris. I know everybody likes to dissect every single little thing about training camp, but the reality is that especially when you're working on new things with new teammates, you're going to have some miscues. One of the interceptions looked to be a clear miscommunication between Wilson and the wide receiver, so I wouldn't make too much out of this. It's good that he bounced back after that second interception, though. Shows you some mental fortitude, but again, it is just training camp. You can't go too crazy about it.
Yeah, this will be fun. So one of the biggest reasons why I started getting into this job was I would read, you know, when I was back working as an architect and wasting my day online reading about sports, and I would read training camp updates, and I got a little frustrated by like lack of context to stuff, and I was just like, oh, I'll go in there. But the thing is, yeah, I can add more context. And when I do talk about, you know, completions, incompletions, picks, all that stuff in camp, I add as much context as I can. But there's so much context that's missing and that I can't fill in. Because like you said, especially early in camp, they're all learning the playbooks. They're installing the plays like right in front of our eyes. Some plays they're running for their very first time. And it's happening right in front of our eyes. But I don't know that. I don't know that that's the first time they ever ran that play or the 36th time they ran that play. And maybe if I was able to stop, freeze frame, and study everything, maybe I'd be able to identify that, but you can't do that. So there's lots of times early in camp where a receiver will run the wrong route and the throw is exactly where it was supposed to be, but the receiver wasn't, and now it's an interception, and that just looks bad. So as frustrated as I used to get at the lack of context, now I understand the lack of context. Of course, me being me, wanting to always provide more context, all I'm going to do is explain why there is an obvious lack of context in situations. So yeah, it's up and down, but that's going to be the case. I'm sure, again, I've talked about this all the time. I'm sure it's the case on some level. Aaron Rodgers has bad training camp practices, I'm sure. Tom Brady does as well. Not as often, of course, but they happen, or at least up and down ones. Mistakes happen. You're trying things out. Your teammates are trying things out. You know, maybe this is another thing too. Cornerbacks, a lot of cornerbacks might be more aggressive at certain times because why not? There's less repercussions. I remember talking to vet cornerbacks in the past who have told me, oh yeah, they'll get much more aggressive in training camp because there's no, you know, especially if they're secure and they know they're going to keep their job. Like I haven't talked to DJ Reed about this yet. I haven't had an opportunity, but he knows he's going to be there as long as he's healthy. So maybe he wants to have fun, take a little more risks that where he wouldn't normally in a game. That type of stuff will happen. So there, it's just going off how much the completions are, how many interceptions were thrown, does not even begin to tell the story. And I can try add as much context as I want, and I'm still going to miss a ton.
Big day for Quinnen Williams, had some really nice plays, beat Laken Tomlinson for a would-be sack. Bryce Huff continued to play really well, beating Chuma Adoga, though. Funny enough, Adoga seems to be doing okay against Carl Lawson. As far as Sauce Gardner goes, he's going to be in a competition with Bryce Hall for that second cornerback spot. I don't expect that competition to last very long, but both guys are stepping up. A really good pass deflection against Corey Davis by Sauce Gardner, and also an interception in the red zone drills by Bryce Hall. The good thing here is if Bryce Hall and Sauce Gardner can push each other, Sauce is obviously going to start, but it's never a bad thing to have a good third cornerback. I'm not talking about the slot cornerback. I mean a good third boundary cornerback. So that's something to keep your eye on as we continue to look through camp, the offensive line, the defensive line, and the cornerback battle.
I talked about this a little bit yesterday. They're doing this thing where they're, you know, they're going to make Sauce earn it, but as long as he doesn't fall on his face, they're going to give it to him before he actually earns it, and they're going to say he earned it. And that's that. You might think that I'm saying that it's like, that's just how it works. It's not, it's like if, when you take somebody that high, the threshold to make them the starter is much shorter than when you take a fifth round draft pick. You know, just I've talked about this in the past with quarterbacks, with Zach Wilson last year. I was saying, just don't fall on your face. If as long as you can do the basics and you don't look like you're going to completely embarrass yourself in the entire tri-state region, then they're going to end up putting you in there. How long that will be, I think we're getting pretty close. We got fans showing out at practice tomorrow, and middle of next week, I expect Sauce will be probably getting the bulk of the firsts. But I was looking at this roster the other day, the first day of camp showed up, and I was just going through, looking at the positions and depth chart, and I'm looking through, and I'm like, all right, you got Sauce, you got DJ Reed. All right, you got Bryce Hall, you got Echols. Okay, you got Pinnock. Okay, you got Isaiah Dunn. You got Michael Carter and Guidry on the inside that are playing there. And it's like, okay, now there was a lot of talk. We talked a lot going into the draft and offseason about Bryce Hall and, you know, Echols and Pinnock. And, yeah, they'd be great to have in some depth because they showed some promise, this and that. And that's what they are now. That's what they are now. You have your starters, and now Echols, Pinnock, like as depth guys on outside. Yeah, I like that. You got Guidry and Michael Carter too, who you know can be the Michael Carter too be the nickel. Most likely hold on to that. Guidry could be the second nickel slash dime back up there. There's a lot of different options there, and This is the deepest cornerback group I've seen in a long time. So there's a lot of different ways they can mix and match if need be. But, yeah, it's not going to be long until we see Sauce and DJ Reed out there as the one and twos on the outside. With Quinnen Williams, again, anyone that's listened to this podcast and listened to us, followed my work, knows I'm a believer in Quinnen Williams, and I think Quinnen Williams is going to be great. This it's the same thing we're saying with all these guys. A, offensive line, they're not in pads. They don't get a hold of the pads. It's harder, more difficult. One thing for Quincy's sake, he is doing all this damage, most of the damage from the inside, and he's not dealing with the tackles, you know, the weak tackles on the edge. He is getting the first team guys on the inside. But if you need this to get you excited about Quincy Williams, I don't know what to tell you. Just be excited, because I think with the talent around him here this year, if they can keep everything healthy, get some some more comfort level behind him, so the mess behind him that was happening a lot last year will be cleaned up. I think you're looking for a big year from Quinnen. I think you should absolutely be excited about that. And again, this defensive line, you got Carl Lawson right now coming back strong. He says stronger, and he looks great. John Franklin, there's plenty, you know. Nathan Shepard, Vinnie Curry is actually through here right now and healthy. So there's a lot there. That's just going to be relentless pressure on opposing offensive lines. And just again, I would like it if maybe they'd be willing to be a little more flexible with playing Quinnen Williams a little bit more than the same amount as everybody else. But, you know, I'll save those complaints for the time being.
After practice, we heard from Coach Robert Saleh, who said Quan Alexander will be another veteran who has versatility to play Will and Sam in his system. Says he hopes to get Fant Berrios back next week. Fant Berrios did not participate in the 11-on-11s. Fant didn't participate at all. Berrios did some stuff, but is not fully ready. But obviously, Saleh thinks they should be by next week. Saleh said today was a really good day for Mekhi Becton. John Franklin Myers spoke. He said he's looking forward to playing both defensive end and defensive tackle, adding that tackle will come in passing situations. He will be and has been in the past a defensive end in the base. Also says that it's good to be able to go up against guys like Mekhi Becton because, quote, iron sharpens iron. George Fant, who brought his dog to practice, so good for him on that, said that he has enjoyed the vote of confidence the coaching staff has given him by keeping him at left tackle. Asked about his contract situation, he said he's not going to get into that. He's going to let everybody else handle it, and he's going to just go out there and play football. Smart man. That's the way to handle a question like that. Elijah Moore was asked about Garrett Wilson, and Elijah Moore responded by saying, quote, "He reminds me of me." Pretty high praise, I would say, considering how good Elijah Moore was. Also, Lakin Tomlinson spoke. He said that he's blessed to be a part of the Jets. Asked about Quinnen Williams, who beat him today in practice, he said he's going to be a very special player. So, Chris, any thoughts on the comments from John Franklin Myers, Elijah Moore, George Fant, Robert Saleh, and Lakin Tomlinson?
I'm not going to argue with Elijah Moore. He knows way more about this stuff than I do, but I have not seen any of those tapes of comparisons through 3 days yet, and that is not a knock on Garrett Wilson. Elijah Moore came in at a training camp last year. Like, I've never seen a rookie player come in and just play amazing right from the get-go. So maybe long-term there's something there, but Elijah Moore, you ask me, you're selling yourself a little bit short on that one. And that is no disrespect to Garrett Wilson. Who knows, he could end up having a better career. I'm not even saying, but just first 3 days, maybe me and Elijah need to talk for him to explain where the similarities are. But again, I talked about this yesterday. I think that the way the skill sets of this receiving group just complement each other so well. And I don't doubt that Garrett Wilson is going to be good. But, yeah, then my other main takeaway, I mean, everything there. We know John Franklin Myers, that he's going to be inside, outside. He can move around. He's a versatile piece. That's what they like. He's going to be on the edge a lot. And then he can get leverage inside on pass rushing. So they'll mix it up there. Again, we talked about what Saleh said with Quan Alexander and his versatility as well. But yeah, the only thing that any of us should really truly care about is George Fant's dog. Like, come on. That's the best thing ever. And more players should bring their dogs to practice. And if they don't have dogs, they should go get dogs. And then they should maybe get like dog jerseys or something to put on, and we can line them up and we can pretend that they're all playing, but we can just hang out and watch them play with dogs.
I'm all for the Bud Bowl Jets edition. What do you think? George Fant can bring his dog. Maybe Becton's got a dog. They can go up against each other. Maybe we could even do something where like Quinnen Williams and John Franklin Myers have dogs. George Fant and Mekhi Becton have dogs. And you have that little in the trenches battle between the dogs.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Just watch them just jump around, you know, play fighting, of course, just regular dog stuff. But going around to see who's got the speed off the edge, who can get there quicker, you know, I'm ready for it.
I like it. I'm all for Carl Lawson's dog trying to sack Zach Wilson's dog. I think that would be awesome.
There we go. I love it.
Chris Nimbley, the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all that, a very big deal. Thank you so much for coming on and breaking down day number 3 of New York Jets training camp with me. Really appreciate it. For those that want to check out all of Chris's very big deal work, it's at JetsInsider.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at CNimbley and at JetsInsider. Read our work over at PlayLikeAJet.com. Also watch our videos over on the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. The Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant, has got some fantastic videos up there. So watch the videos. Subscribe if you haven't already. It's YouTube.com/PlayLikeAJet. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quinnen Williams Bless You Thank You shirt, the Zach Says Go Long shirt, the Zach the Ripper shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies. It's all there. teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.